Join me in prayer, please. Father, what a joy it is to come and study your word. We just praise you for its perfection, its truth, its reliability. I pray that you'd speak to us as we open your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're still in Romans chapter 1 as we continue our study of the book of Romans. And as we study creation in its role in God speaking to not only believers but to the natural man, join me in looking in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Last week in our study of Romans, we studied the first half of 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." And as we continue on over the next several weeks, what we are going to be looking at is basically God's right to indict and charge the unrighteousness of men. And who is subjected to that? Because after all, if God punished people who didn't know about God and who God is, He would not be a righteous and just God. But this isn't the case. And in fact, in Stott's commentary on Romans, he brings up the fact that since the beginning of creation, God has taken the initiative in revealing Himself to mankind. Since the very beginning of creation, God has said, "This is who I am. And this is my character." In fact, in Stott's commentary, he brings up God's fourfold self-revelation to mankind. And he uses the verses that we've already studied and are about to study. And he does a great job in bringing up the fourfold revelation and approaching it in a reverse order, according to the verses. And I want us to look at that this morning because I think it's very appropriate for us. That first of all, God has revealed His glory to mankind. And you see that revelation in Romans 1, 19 through 20. And it reads, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them." In them is all mankind. Just not believers. It's all mankind. "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, if you remember at the beginning, I said what we're about to study is God's right to indict, charge, and punish mankind for wickedness. And He said that He has declared His glory to mankind so that mankind is without excuse. All of mankind is indictable and is worth charging and is worth being punished because of the revelation of God through His creation to all of mankind. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." Isaiah 6, starting in verse 1, verse 3 is what I want to focus on. "And the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.'" The glory of God can be seen everywhere throughout His creation. Job 42 verse 5, Job said, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust, in ashes." God reveals His glory to mankind. God also reveals His wrath. That's what we just studied in the first part of verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness." God reveals His wrath in a number of different ways. Last week, I mentioned that God ultimately revealed His wrath at the cross. Jesus Christ endured the wrath that was meant for you and me by God. God revealed His wrath at the cross. God reveals His wrath on a daily basis with the natural consequences of sin. If you disobey the laws of God, you end up suffering the natural consequences of that sin because you're going against the law of God. In addition, we've seen various examples of God exhibiting His wrath by the force of nature, even though mankind now wants to disregard that God would not reveal His wrath through nature, even though the end of times says that God will reveal His wrath by natural events. But God reveals His wrath in various different forms. So in addition to His glory, God reveals His wrath. That's the second way that God reveals Himself to us. God also reveals Himself through His gospel. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "For in it the righteousness of God..." Now remember, 16, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." And then in verse 17, it says, "For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." God's truth, His revelation of who He is, what He is about, is revealed to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the third way that God reveals Himself to us. The fourth way is that God reveals His power through redeeming sinners unto Himself. You see that in Romans 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." See how I did that backwards? His glory in 19 through 20. His wrath in 18. His gospel in 17. His power in 16. God has revealed Himself to mankind in four different ways. This is who I am. This is my character. This is what I am about. And I want to point out something that's extremely important. As God reveals Himself in nature through His creation, this isn't a natural theology. In other words, I can't be saved sitting out in a bass boat enjoying nature. I can recognize God sitting out in a bass boat enjoying nature. I can witness His creation, but it doesn't save me. So God reveals Himself to all of mankind through His creation, through His nature, But it is not a nature theology. The only thing that saves us is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I also want to point out that this natural revelation has been continuous from the beginning of creation. Every single day, we can look around us and observe the creation of God. We can also observe the consequences of living life outside of the laws of God. We can observe those who endure the wrath of God or the natural punishment for their sins because they're not living within the truths and precepts of God. It's all around us. It's a natural revelation that speaks to us every single day. And in addition to that, as I said in Bible study this morning, you and I could get on a plane and we can go to various parts of the world and see that there is a basic idea of a right and a wrong, of a commonality of, I can't kill my neighbor without some type of law against that, and I can't steal. Well, where did that come from? Did men sit around worldwide and dream up just a basic moral code? No, it's through the natural revelation of what God has, as we being the creation of God, we have that inside of this natural code that is inside of us. We can observe all those things in a natural sense. And in spite of all of the evidence that speaks to mankind day in, day out, since the beginning of creation, man has chosen to suppress the truth. They've chosen to suppress the truth. Paul's letter says that the ungodly and the unrighteous have suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. As I started preparing my sermon, and always read the verses early on the week and meditate on those and think about those, and I kept on thinking about this word suppress. And a strange sermon analogy came to my mind. We have this creek bed in the back of our house, and every year we are going to kill about 3 or 4 water moccasins that come up in the yard. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had this water moccasin. I happened to be home. But I thought, I'm not home all the time, and the guns that I have are a little bit too big for Kathy to use. So I'm at College Station, and I'm in the gun shop, and I'm buying this double barrel 410. The clerk's ringing me up, and I've got some time while he's doing my background check and all of that other stuff. And so I look in the case, and there's this case of suppressors. As I was thinking about suppression today, and then I thought about me being in the gun shop and looking at this whole case of gun suppressors, and I thought about this in relationship to my sermon, and it's actually an appropriate analogy. Because if you think about a suppressor, if someone puts a suppressor on a gun and they shoot the gun, you don't hear the gunshot. You don't see the flash of the muzzle. But if you were to shoot me with a gun with a suppressor, I still have the same end result, right? I'm either going to be wounded or I'm going to die. I'm going to experience the power of that bullet that is coming at me. And when you compare that analogy of a person that's shooting a gun with a suppressor, the analogy holds because an unrighteous person suppresses the truth of God. The outcome is still the same. They have been sentenced to death. They still experience the force of the power of God. They just don't witness it in their everyday life until it is too late. They suppress the truth. They suppress the truth because they do not want to listen to the holy and righteous God. They choose a lie over the truth. It says that the wrath of God is being revealed against all ungodliness. And it is safe to say that sin is godlessness. If the wrath of God is being revealed against all ungodliness, sin is godlessness. It is denying the truth and the character of a holy and righteous God. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. John says this. He says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Sin is lawlessness. Sin is godlessness. Sin is lawlessness. "And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins," referring to Jesus Christ, "and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him." Now let's think about that. As you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have the blessing and benefit of a spiritual revelation, not a natural revelation, a spiritual revelation where we know God, where God has revealed Himself to us, has called us, has redeemed us, as we saw in that last revelation, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because God is calling sinners unto Himself." It says that if we abide in Him, that we don't have the characteristic of a habitual sin in our life. But those that don't know Christ, they abide in sin and they live in a life of lawlessness, of godlessness. In other words, the natural man says, "I choose to live without God. I choose to live without God." Stott, in his definition of sin, says this. Sin, this is a great quote, "Sin is the attempt to get rid of God. And since that is impossible, the determination to live as though one has succeeded." Sin is the attempt to get rid of God, and since that is impossible, the determination to live as though one has succeeded. Isn't that what happened to Adam and Eve? Eve first believed the lie that if they partook of the fruit, that they'd live forever and be like God. And what did Adam and Eve do after God was walking in the garden and after they'd sinned? They hid. They hid. Now think about that. Isn't hiding from God suppressing the truth? Because He is the truth. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And if you sin, if you don't acknowledge your sin, you are living without God. You are suppressing the truth. You're suppressing. What does man do to suppress the truth? They sin. Look at our focal verse again. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth," how? "In unrighteousness." In other words, they sin more and more and more to cover up this idea that there is a holy and righteous God who is a source of truth and holiness. They don't want to hear it. So they continue to sin. And in fact, as you'll learn in the next several Sundays, that there is a spiral of sin where societies go from one aspect of sin and they spiral completely out of control. And one of the signs of being a society of out of control is homosexuality. And it's clear in the Scripture, and you're going to see that. And that's where we are in our culture. We're out of control. As our culture lives a life of wickedness and they suppress the truth because they want to live a life without God. They want to live a life without God. At one point, Jesus is having this discussion with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And in verse 17, Jesus said this to Nicodemus. He said, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Men suppress the truth and unrighteousness because they like living in darkness. They love darkness. And as we think about who stands in need of the power of Jesus Christ, it's all of mankind. It was us before we knew Him who desperately needed Jesus and who asked Jesus into our life so that we could come to the light. It's a world that's dying and in decay. It has no way of redeeming themselves. They've been indicted. They've been charged. They stand facing the wrath of God. And the only solution is, as Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. It's the only way that mankind can stand in front of a holy, righteous God and find themselves just. He has revealed Himself to us. But men continue to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And unfortunately, we have people that are in the church today, the world over, who are apostates, who are teaching an apostate theology, who continue to suppress the truth. And it reminded me of a verse that we studied back in Hebrews when we were going through the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 10. Verse 26 says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice of sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries." What's he talking about there? Apostates say you can still continue to live in a habitual life of sin. See, they're suppressing the truth. The truth of salvation, my friends, is that we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we have victory over our sin. That we can overcome temptation. That we can have a life of victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the apostate suppresses that truth. They continue to sin willfully because they suppress the true truth. That salvation is the power of God. See, all mankind stands indicted. And I'll tell you also that while we have eternal life as believers, we have to fight this natural inclination to suppress the truth. I think within our humanity, we have a challenge in the fact that it's easy for us to suppress the truth. You see it in Bible reading. Let me ask you something. When you're drifting from God, when you're walking out of His path, are you active in your Bible reading? No. We've all been there, right? Are you active in your church attendance? No. I remember one time I called somebody. They had been drifting. They'd been out of church. I called them and I said, "I'm concerned about you." And they said, "Well, how do you know? Because I'm going through something right now. How did you know that?" It's easy. Mankind's just like Adam and Eve. When you're in sin, what do? You go and hide. You try to suppress the truth. It's kind of foolish, isn't it? When we think about an all-knowing God. The wicked suppress truth. We can find ourselves as Christians trying to suppress the truth. I'm going to remove myself. I don't want to hear about the things of God. See, God has been revealing Himself to mankind ever since creation. He wants a relationship with us. Christianity isn't about a bunch of do's and don'ts. Christianity is about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that relationship, we accept Him and we accept His truth and His teaching and we walk with Him. and we have a relationship with Him, and we start looking more and more like Him as He sanctifies us. He changes our character. He changes our taste. It's a remarkable contrast to the natural man who does not want anything to do with God. They don't want to hear it. All mankind stands in judgment because a holy and righteous God, since the beginning of time, has revealed Himself to all of mankind. Will you join me in prayer, please? Father, as we study Your Word and as we know that You have revealed Yourself, I just pray that if there's someone here who does not know You, that they would accept You, accept Your truth, that they would accept the fact that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life and shed His blood on a cross so that we as believers might have life. I pray that they'd accept You today. I pray, Lord, that us as believers, as we recognize that the whole world stands condemned apart from Christ, that we might be bold in our pronouncement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that You'd give us a spirit of boldness, that we wouldn't shy away from declaring Your truth. I pray that we'd be like Paul, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.